What a joy it is to be able to come and talk to you about the gifts and the love of the Holy Spirit. Welcome to Holy Spirit School. What a joy. We'll be studying a little bit about the Holy Spirit, getting to know Him better, and hoping that we can help you get to know Him better. And I wanted to talk about this week a little bit about the desert places in our life. I think we've all had them. We've all had desert places. And the other thing that I wanted to do is let you know why we want to do Holy Spirit School. It is when we get close to Christ as Lord, all of us are born of the Spirit. You heard me say you don't get Him in pieces. You get Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So that new birth of the Holy Spirit lives in us. And as spiritual beings, we live constantly in this old world, a tension between time and eternity. And we want to welcome the person of the Holy Spirit without measure. We will have the power of God in our life if we accept Him and let Him be in our life and to be able to help us and to guide us and to strengthen us. So that's what we want to do, because we need to live on this earth as mature Christ followers, and we are then investing into eternity. Amen. One of the reasons that I wanted to do this is to talk about the Holy Spirit and how we can get to know Him better. Because there's always been a lot of confusion and also a lot of anxiety, maybe not with you, but with a lot of people, and the fear of the Holy Spirit and the topic of the Holy Spirit in different denominations and different churches. So with God's help, I would like to help diminish all of that in your life and my life. The premise so far is our foundation. Moving forward is this. From chapter in the Bible in Genesis until you get to the conclusion of the story in the book of Revelation, the power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit are almost synonymous. That's why I think that it's relevant for us, you and me, that we are trusting God for a breakthrough in our life. Whether it's physically or emotionally or financially or relational, we're saying, God, we need Your power to help us. So, if you had accepted that notion, that the power of God and the person of the Holy Spirit go together, asking God for His power, being reluctant to cooperate with the Holy Spirit is really irrational. We need Him. We need to help Him. They want to help us. Why not help Him? So we come from different backgrounds and understandings, and I realize that. And we've all learned at one time or another different things in different ways about God, especially the person of the Holy Spirit. And my suggestion is simply this. Let a prayer begin in your heart that says, Holy Spirit, You are welcome in my life. And then put your hand over your mouth so you don't put any qualifications on it or any limits. Now, I can tell you this about the Holy Spirit. He will never embarrass you, nor will He ever violate your will. He won't make you do something that you don't want to do. Sometimes people will say, you know, I didn't want to do this or do that, but the Lord made me do it. Well, I forget that old guy that had the program years ago that said, no, it's the devil that made me do it. Well, God's Holy Spirit will never force Himself upon you and never get you to do something that you don't want to do. You know, it's that thing called free will. In fact, I think that if you distinguish between the Holy Spirit and an unholy demonic spirit, because we're constantly in that battle, the devil, Satan, is the god of this world. And so there's always that constant battle between time and eternity. A demonic spirit will bully you, will intimidate you, will violate your own sense. People will say, I didn't want to do this or that, but I couldn't stop, meaning maybe sometimes with the addictions. Well, that's unholy. So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He wants to help you. and He will help you and guide you out of any challenges that you might have. And I'll tell you something else about the Holy Spirit. He will never come where He's not welcome. He's like a child. You know, children won't come around where they're not welcome. And the Holy Spirit will never come where He's not welcome. But He wants to be a part of your life. He has a desire for His presence to be in your life and His presence involved in your life. Now, He won't bother you, so you need not to be concerned about that. He only comes where He's welcome, where He's invited, where there's a desire to honor Jesus. In fact, if you want to facilitate His presence and cultivate in yourself a desire to honor Jesus, I think this is the way that we can go about it. Folks need to know and got to say, you know, I want Jesus as an advocate, and He will come as an advocate. And the reason that I tried to be consistent were me, I want to be around people. I want to be around Christ followers. I want to be around people that have the same understanding and the same love of God. And He'll show up there. Now, we're in the world, not of the world. That's what Jesus said. But we got to deal with this worldly things. But the Holy Spirit will show up and help you. And then you'll become a Jesus advocate. And it's easy to share your hope and joy that we have in Christ. Well, I'm talking about the desert. And I want to build on that theme about desert places. I've been in many desert areas in our own country and overseas, and one of the deserts that really come to mind where we were on tour over in Egypt, and we went through the Sinai, which is the desert between Israel and Egypt, and it's just an amazing place, you know. And then we come across while we were out there in that desert, and sure enough, there was an oasis. Wow, it came at the right time. But deserts are something to be enjoyed. But there's a biblical place that's assigned to the desert. And it's very unique. So I want to use the biblical narrative about deserts and use it as an image that suggests to us that there's not only a physical desert. Sometimes there are desert seasons. Have you ever noticed that? I hear people say sometimes, I'm at a dry place in my life. I'm at a barren place in my life. So if you're walking through a desert season or a dry season, I hope that we can see from scriptures that those in desert places, the Spirit of God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise that Jesus made. In fact, I can say more directly, and oftentimes the Spirit of God will lead you through the desert, or even lead you to the desert. He might have been the one that took you there so that you can have a special time with Him. Now think about this. God's not a child abuser. He doesn't break your legs to teach you a lesson, but sometimes He will lead us to places where we can be better students. Amen. Now, I've learned some things about being in desert places physically. One thing I learned is you can't fight the desert. It doesn't work very well. And you can't outwork the desert. The desert is a place that you have to learn to cooperate with the environment. You have to recognize the limits that are there and work within those limits. It's true physically, and it's also true spiritually. So in the desert, you think, when you're not thirsty, if you wait until you are thirsty, it might be too late. So you're already behind the hydration curve. In the desert, you rest before you're exhausted and before the elements are too harsh and demand you physically or too great. If you get exhausted, it's very difficult to recover. Now, a lot of times, I think all of us at one time, especially in this hot weather, we get dehydrated. And it's hard to overcome it. Yeah, we can, and we need to, and we should. But when you're in the desert, It's not a very gentle place, is it? It's not a place of great deal. Sometimes when you're in the desert, there's not a lot of noise, not a lot of audio clutter. So you have to listen for more subtle things. What's it say in the Psalms? Be still and know I'm God. That's what you need to do sometimes when you get into one of these dry places. In Scripture, it's a very useful place to be in the desert. There's a place then of renewal and revelation and deliverance and provision, a refuge, preparation, if you would. And I think all of these things God did for His people in the desert places, both physically and spiritually. So if you're in one of those seasons, God has not abandoned you. He hadn't overlooked you. He hadn't forgotten you. And He's not ignoring you. In fact, He wants to be with you and help you. So I would submit to you, given your season for a tremendous engagement in your life, be open to the gift of the Holy Spirit. What about Moses and the Hebrew people? We know, as we learned in Bible school and different things, about how they were in the desert. They were on this desert journey. And I think most of us know a great deal about Moses, and if we don't, Hollywood has helped us, you know, with the Ten Commandments movie and all this stuff. Moses grew up as a prince in Egypt. And then in an act of violence, he murders an Egyptian and he flees Egypt. And he happens to end up in the backside of the desert, where he stayed for a long, long time. Then he had a God encounter at the burning bush. And God gives him a new assignment. You know, we all have assignments. And God gave Moses a new one. And He sends him back to Egypt. And Moses is very reluctant to go back to Egypt. In fact, he tries every excuse that he can think of until God finally gets angry with him. And eventually he cooperates with the purposes of God. Isn't it good to know that some of the greatest men and women of faith in the Bible weren't excited about God's plan for them? I think that helps you and me to get a sense that God's inviting you to do something and you go, oh no, send somebody else, Lord. You know? I sense that God is pushing sometimes His initiative, or I had an awareness that perhaps there was an invitation from Him. Jesus said to test the Spirit and make sure it's of me. So don't let the first no come out of your mouth or your final answer when God is trying to give you a lifeline or do something in your life. Don't be afraid of God's plan or His invitations. He loves you. He is wiser than you are. And He knows the end at the beginning. Trust Him. You'll not regret it. God's invitation may stir an inner struggle, so choose to follow God. Back to Moses. Moses returned to Egypt. Remember the story? One of the great confrontations in all of history took place between the spokesman for the slaves, the Hebrew people, Pharaoh, and Egypt. Pharaoh said, no, 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 and God said, yes, yes, yes. And then you had plagues sent upon. And the magicians of Egypt duplicated every one of God's supernatural involvement. Did you know that Satan is an imposter? Jesus even said, Satan, he's the father of all lies. And to the best extent of his abilities are limited. He's not infinite like our God. He will duplicate what Almighty God does. And that's the reason at the end of the age of grace will be concluded, as we read in the book of Revelation, about a false Christ, an Antichrist, accompanied by a false prophet. The Antichrist will be a religious person. There'll be miracles in the supernatural because of the power behind them as the imitator of the true God. So the magicians in Egypt duplicated the first plagues, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, if you remember the story, till finally the last of the plagues was the Passover, the spirit of the death angel that passed through the land of Egypt, killing the firstborn, except for the ones that had the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. So when the sun came up, the Egyptians drove the Hebrews out of the nation. Get rid of them, Pharaoh said. I don't want them around. Give them all their gold and silver. Just tell them to leave. We don't want them. That's it. Get them out of here. So God led the Hebrew people after 100 years, or hundreds, but not 100, 100, maybe about 400 years of slavery into freedom. Did you know why they were slaves? It wasn't racial, like we have this racial thing today about slaves. In fact, we still have slaves in this world today. The Bible tells us that they prospered so much that the Hebrew peoples were so blessed by God while they were in Egypt that their lives, they lived an abundant life. So a lot of the Egyptians were jealous of them and said, Pharaoh, if you don't do something about these people, they're going to rule over us. They had a numerical advantage, that's for sure, and they were jealous of their prosperity. Did you know that God wants to bless you? Christians sometimes are weird on this point. Now, I'm not exactly sure why. I have a few theories, though. There is what they call the prosperity gospel, and sometimes say, are you teaching the prosperity gospel, preacher? No, I want to tell you. What are you? Well, are you one of those poverty people? No, we're not that either. We just love God, and we can't even imagine to calculate how your spiritual bank balance is. And it's great. I want to tell you the truth. I think one of the reasons we don't want to open up the whole discussion is we don't want to invite a God discussion about our resources. And we're kind of finicky about that, about how much money we got or what we do. I understand that. And what we should understand is the notion that is reflecting of the tremendous affluence that we live in. We, as God's people, are so blessed. We have so much. And we have the notion that we can get along financially without God sometimes. But I can tell you right now, you can't. You cannot get along financially without God in your life. As the old phrase goes, you can't outgive God. So what's ahead for us? I think the only stability and the only security and the only certainty is understanding that God is our source. We don't own nothing. It's all God's. We're just good stewards of it. Now, back to how God led the Israelites out of Egypt. And I want to paraphrase a little. It's in Exodus 13:21-22. By the day, the Lord went ahead of them with a cloud, and they guide them along their way by night with a pillar of fire to give them light. And they traveled by day and night, and neither the cloud and pillar of fire left its place, and it was always in front of the people. God provided a physical and a visible, tangible beacon to lead the people. You got to remember, they were slaves. They had been slaves in Egypt longer than the United States had been a nation. That's a big group of people that just got released, and God physically engineered their pathway. The more they went, the more he told them that they were going to the promised land for milk and hungry. And then the Egypt and the purpose of bringing them out. But, they couldn't handle it. You know what happened? Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments and came down, and they were having a party, so to speak. But look over in Exodus 15:23-24. Again, I paraphrase. Moses led the Israelites from and through the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled into the desert without finding any water. And then the day they came to Meribah, and they could not drink the water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses. What are we going to drink, Moses? The translation means God told Moses what to do. Just put some wood on it, and it'll take the bitterness out. Well, they didn't do that. They didn't do exactly what God did, but he helped them, and he continued to show them the way, if you would. And then God parted the sea, the Red Sea. and he led his people through. And then the Egyptian people that were following them to try to catch him, the sea closed up on them and they drowned. Well, do you have room in your imagination for this? Think about that. God led them to a place they didn't fully meet their need, and they were grumbling, and Moses prayed for them. But they survived. But they could not go to the promised land because of what they did in their thing. It was a whole generation of them. So after the people that had fled, God said to them, I am your Lord, your God, that delivered you from Egypt, and I will be Jehovah Rapha. Rapha means a modern Hebrew word for physician. And he said to them, I'll be your Lord and your doctor, and I will not put you of any diseases that you saw on the Egyptians if you will only obey me. God took them to a place where they'd have to listen, in the desert, if you would. And I think God said to them, hey, guys, now that I got your attention, I'll be your doctor. You won't be sick like you saw the Egyptians if you'll just cooperate with me. Now, I guess our question for all of us as we study this about the Holy Spirit, about God's grace, and about God's love, and all of that, a question for all of us is this. Do you believe God would lead you to a desert place so that you could get to know him better? Think about that. See, it's a recalibration of our imagination of what it means to be a Christ follower. I think we tend to imagine the power of God in some supernatural force to help us and to get our own way. Yep. I mean, we may not say it out loud, but I think really deep down inside, sometimes in our heart, we think, God, how can I get you to give me an advantage in my business? Or how can you help me and give me an upper hand in the places in my life where there seems to be tension? I need you to fix it, Lord. Well, I want to close with this because it's I'm hoping that by the time that we get done and going through and looking at the gifts that God has given to us, especially the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power that we have if we just trust and obey, for there's no other way. I really think that God is interested in our life. He is interested in our desires and his way and his will for our lives. That's a challenge. We have a lot of time to do that. It's just not important sometimes. But do you know why? That we're a race of rebels? And I don't mean that in the wrong way, but we are rebellious sometimes about the things of God. Amen. So I hope and pray that we can learn a little bit together, a little bit of freedom, a little bit of ways that we can understand the grace of God. Life is short, if you want to put it that way. We need all the help that we can get from God because he is preparing us for eternity. And sometimes being in a desert place, that's exactly what it means. Survival mode. Well, Father, we thank and praise you for this time on the online service and hope and pray that your word will touch everybody within the sound of my voice as we continue for the next few weeks, however long it takes, to learn more about you and with the confirmation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have a good day.